When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. Transformers! For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 557. I am Brian Kilby. Today is February 7th, 2018. We're just 10 days away from Toy Fair, and no leaks yet, unless everything was spoiled 6 months ago. Join us February 17th, 12 Eastern Time, for our 9th annual Toy Fair live stream. It's the biggest thing we do all year. It's a load of fun, and we will be talking about all of the news coming out of Toy Fair, mostly Transformers, but of course we will be talking about whatever Hasbro has up their sleeves. And the following day, we'll be talking about basically everything else. Of course, that includes... Wait, Bandai doesn't have a presence this year, right? Is that what I heard?
No.
Lame.
That is correct.
Lame. So
no awesome Power Rangers news, sadly.
Lego, Playmates, all that stuff. We'll talk about it then, just no Bandai. Bummer. Make sure, of course, you're following us at TF Radio on Twitter, because Diecast will be tweeting out all the news as it happens. Diecast is the man. Anybody get anything this week? And I'll start. Just because everything that I have, everybody else already has. I have Robots in Disguise Bludgeon, who's the cutest little bludgeon ever. He's so cute. Look at him. Oh, my Lord. He's adorable.
I'm still trying to find one.
And Thermidor.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'm happy that I have Thermidor. So I've been wanting it for a while, and literally I opened it 15 minutes before the show started because just trying to get stuff wrapped up. So it's been a busy week.
And with them being tailing pieces, they may be getting hard to find before too long.
Yeah, it's true. Diecast, you got some stuff. What'd you get?
Oh, I got some, I got a new head because I like head. So I got the replacement head for the Weijiang RC, and it makes a really big difference. I wish my camera would focus on it there, but the one I'm holding in my hand is the original. Had a really sharp chin and no lipstick.
That does look pretty good.
Yeah, and then the new head is a lot better. So I mean, this is only a stand-in for like a masterpiece right now, but come on, camera. But I'm glad that I got that. That was from TF Direct, which it's the first time I've actually purchased anything from them. And I also got, because I only had to pay for shipping, I got the Rendorza gap filler pieces that they had, which are completely just for the back of the figure. So it's really strange that they would do an upgrade kit for the back of the figure.
It's more for jet mode, really. But it does improve.
You can't really see much of that stuff in jet mode.
Well, the back you can, and then the heels.
Yeah.
So it does clean it up a little bit. But I mean, you know, but Rendorza is a really nice piece anyway. You know, for an upscale KO, it is a good solid.
They did an upgrade kit for an upscaled KO. So, you know, it's the times we live in are getting weird.
They've been weird.
I also got, this is the one thing I told Eric Comeover. We'll call him Comeover.
Comeover. He has no hair now, so he's not even that.
Yeah. I told him, I was like, he's not allowed to be on the stream until his hair grows back. Transformers Prime Ironhide, which was the Takara version. I forgot they needed stickers. And he came in, and I'm like, wow, he's really small. He was a very small deluxe figure, and you had to sticker him, which was kind of a pain. And he also came with that little Micron that was on a sprue kit that you had to put together, which that actually, I kind of enjoy the sprue kits, so I like that about it, but not a very good looking Ironhide. After I got it, I was like, why did I get this?
Yeah, I don't know why you got that.
But it was Taobao and it was cheap. And
only $75 shipping, though.
For the third time, I purchased Syndicus because the first one I sold to Matt, and then I decided that, you know, I was getting all the other reformatted figures, especially the DJD. So I was like, oh, I'll just get him again. And he was one of the figures that got lost in that Taobao shipment that destroyed. So I repurchased him again for the third time.
You want another reformatted culture? Asterisk mode, huh?
I love that.
I'm trying to get rid of mine.
And then I also got the Anarchist, which is their electric chair. Yep. And I can't wait to actually get him out of the package and put someone in the electric chair.
What toys fit in that?
Any deluxe class, really.
The stock photo is that RC that they did a couple color variations on that they had in there.
Well, that's
I also got my KO Overlord, and they're not even trying to hide the name. It's Overlord NB, and that's like Legends scale.
Wait. How do you spell it?
Overlord NB.
Oh, God.
And it's NB01. But yeah, that got a Legends Overlord, which is cool. And I also got the Perfect Effects upgrade kit for Power Master Optimus Prime. Or what are we calling him? With God Jinrai?
Yeah. So what's the upgrade? Is it like a completely new God Bomber?
No, it's basically two pieces so he doesn't fall backwards for the God, heels. And then
it's a wall.
Two new guns.
Against.
New guns and a new sword and some other miscellaneous stuff. So looks like a nice kit, and like I said, I want to make sure my figure doesn't fall backwards, so I got the upgrade kit so it didn't fall backwards. Oh, this I'm love this figure. Of course I love the colors because it's Jetfire colors. It's MMC's reformatted Arrow,
speaking of Drift,
I believe R29,
yeah,
I think is his designation.
Not Drift, and that's Wing.
Wing.
Same difference.
He's really nice.
That was the guy you told you. That was the guy you told me they made just for the comics to kill, right?
Yes. Who now?
Wing.
Wing from the Drift miniseries.
Yeah, probably. The original Drift miniseries I never read, so that was probably somebody else you were talking to.
I love him, and he's so
But weird. Yes, that is the thing. They made him just to kill him to give Deadlock the motivation to turn into Drift.
And these pieces on the side here that just kind of hang out, which I normally wouldn't care for, they act as sheaths for the sword.
Yeah, they're scabbards for the sword.
Yeah, totally okay with that. Again, just looks so nice. I'm so happy to have it. And because Fans Hobby has been killing it,
yes.
Jason already knows this. I got what's he called? The
Gunslinger?
Gunfighter. Yeah. Oh. And I really like him. He just looks really cool.
How much do you spend on toys? Really?
This was a big
shipment.
Not
as much as he's going to spend on a divorce lawyer.
This was a big shipment because a lot of this stuff was used with the money for the packaging the package that got lost. Yeah. So that's what a lot of the money came from.
Yeah, that's a great mold.
Because G2 Devastator, when I bought him, the Toy World one, he was lost in that shipment, but he was cheaper. But as prices do on Taobao, they fluctuate. So as supply dwindles, the price goes up on a lot of stuff. So I didn't want to spend the extra money to purchase that figure again. So I just used it for other stuff I wanted.
Yeah, that's in the chat, somebody asked, what does Diecast do for a living? I responded, he sells his blood. Blood plasma. That's what you do for a living.
It is just your blood, right?
To get that plastic crack.
Jason, don't ask questions you don't want answers to.
Anything else, Diecast?
That's all I got this week.
So, Rob, you got something. You mentioned in the pre-show.
Yeah, I got Slug. He's pretty decent. like I said, as much as we keep saying, and I do think that I would like to see more creative things than just, you know, G1 figures with modern articulation, I'm kind of digging the G1 figures with the modern articulation in terms of Dinobots.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's a... Oh, go on, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, it's a really good figure. Him and
it is.
Swoop is great, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I've got both of them now, so I'm just...
Grimlock! But the
deluxe is... I'm going to get it just to have the set, but I, you know, I'm hoping the other two deluxe Dinobots at least are as good as these.
Cool. Let's see here. Jason, did you get anything?
Well, since the last time I was here, I actually don't have a lot, just like two things. First off, because people have already shown them off for a while now, I did end up getting the Leader Class Optimus for the Primes.
You got Rodimus first. Is that because you found Rodimus first, or you opted to get Rodimus first?
When I did the pre-order, I thought, I already have a Power Master Prime. I don't need to pre-order Prime. And then people started getting Rodimus, and I went, oh, that was stupid. So that's how I ended up with Rodimus first. And, you know, like I think last time I was on the show is when I tossed them overboard. Obviously, everyone knows by now this is a much better leader.
Substantially better, yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice it's him and Rodimus in the second wave, too, because I didn't have to buy any leaders this time around, which is nice on my wallet. And other than that, I just got Legends Blur when they the re-release they did of him, because I love this mold.
Yeah.
And it looks fantastic mold. With paint on it.
Yes, and these colors are so nice. This is easily one of my favorite toys I've gotten in the last couple of years. This is so nice.
That one's even better than the Legends Cup, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So what about $40?
$40. Yeah. Pretty much right on.
Yeah. That's unfortunately how much those wind up being, but it's a nice toy. Let's see here. Matt, did you get anything?
Well, I know you don't like us talking about non-Transformer stuff, so I won't mention my Legacy Gold Ranger from the Power Rangers line. So,
Which Power Rangers line?
Zeo. The Legacy Power Rangers.
Is that like, that's not Mighty Morphin, so I have no idea what it is. Yeah, it's not
Zero is what came out.
It's not Mighty Morphin, and it's not Dynaman, so...
It's not Mighty Morphin. It's stronger than before.
Okay. So, any Transformers?
No.
No. Okay. Don?
Yes. I got some stuff. Transformer-wise, finally, after about a month, had some shipping issues. I don't think it was the seller's fault. I think it was just basically a backlog at customs waiting for everything to clear. Because some other people was having that. But I got Onslaught to the second part of War Giant that Matt and I are collecting.
That's not all that's in there.
There's a bonus small RC. That
in her Combiner Hunters colors.
Yeah, with the Combiner Hunters little weapon, which is pretty cool.
Yep, so I'm looking forward to opening him, because I've got Brawl and Swindle already. So I've got two-thirds of the Combiner, and I've got the rest of them away. I picked up from BBTS's Black Friday sale, so it sat in my pile of loot for a while. It's the small version of Bike Robo, because it was on sale, and I need Bike Robo to go against my Leader 1, so I've got him. And my big purchase
was another Cybertron.
Another God.
I have two. I'm good.
This one will stay in the other room.
Wait till they go on clearance. He'll buy more.
Once they go on clearance, I don't want to take them from people who are waiting for them to go on clearance so they can experience the awesomeness of G2 Primus. So for the betterment of the hobby, I am not going to buy any more.
Nobody should wait for clearance. G2 Primus is worth retail. Just for the glory alone.
Maybe you can go to one of those Toys R Us's that are closing down, because then they have like 30% off or something.
Like mine.
I'm not losing the two that's near me, so I don't know.
Also, Adam Paulus was saying on Twitter earlier that they say 30% off, but most action figures are 10 to 15%. And yes, even though they say no exceptions, video games are accepted. So, you know. Toys R Us is Toys R Us to the end.
Yes, very, very specifically, up to 30% off.
Ah, gotcha.
And the last thing I got, which I am opening right now, is my first unboxing video, technically.
And it sounds terrible on the podcast, so thank you for that.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Brian. I didn't realize it was coming through that bad.
Your microphone is at your belly button, Don.
Well, generally you tell me I have to eat the microphone. I wasn't eating it with the box, so... But,
I can't see what it is.
What is that?
No, it's
that's the Fans Hobby Megatron.
Yeah, that's the Fei Long recolor, the one that was at Singapore for like $250, but showed up in the U.S. without the Singapore exclusive activity stickers for like $120. So, yeah, I decided to pick one up because I think he really looks awesome in those colors.
Yeah, another great mold from
really good looking.
So, yeah. And again, I apologize, Brian.
Oh, Don, it's okay. I'm giving you crap. John, did you get anything?
Other than that?
No, not really. I've been slow to open stuff that I've gotten. So I actually, I guess if anything, I just now opened Slugslinger, the Legend Slugslinger. So I've opened those three Target Masters. That trio of Legends is about as good as it gets. So Legends Misfire, Slugslinger, Trigger Happy. They look awesome. They're decent value. They're not a great value, but they're decent. They're not a disgusting ripoff or anything like that. But anyway, now that I have that trio kind of like out on my desk, I really appreciate those three.
So. Cool. Okay, so real quick, this week in history, 21 years ago, this week in history, Rhinox farted. The Beast Wars episode, The Low Road, premiered in the U.S., and if you don't know what that is, kids, go and watch. And actually, don't. If you've never watched Beast Wars, don't watch that episode.
Also, it's Phil's birthday.
Happy birthday, Phil. So that, let's see here. Phil is what at this point? 44, I'm guessing? Something like that? Phil seems, okay. He seems so much older back in the day because we joked that Phil was the old man. But he's only like 5 or 6 years older than everybody else. So.
And now we know Don. So.
Yeah. We didn't have Don to compare to.
I'm going to be the one that dies first. So there.
Oh, that's beat awesome.
That.
Don, you already been beat to that.
So the item that I have for the big item this week.
I miss Chris's signs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Because that was incredibly inappropriate.
That was. So it's kind of funny. I read this article at work, and I was bringing it up to read it in the for the show. It's on the Wall Street Journal, so I clicked the link, and of course now it's saying that I have to sign in or subscribe to read the article, so I can't. So I will describe to you what the article said earlier today. So for the first time in 24 years, even though Hasbro had a disappointing fourth quarter, it still had excellent revenues for the year, and Hasbro actually outsold Mattel for the first time in 24 years.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So that's actually that's impressive.
That surprises me.
Barbie,
that it's first time.
Barbie.
They outsold them because Hasbro is a lot bigger than them.
No, Hasbro is not. Hasbro actually is not as big as Mattel.
I thought they were.
Kind of like how Hasbro was looking to buy Mattel, but Hasbro is the smaller company. That happens.
Yeah,
that happens sometimes. And besides, if you're a more profitable company, you can be in the position to buy a bigger company. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
No. I'll say and remember, Diecast. Mattel has Hot Wheels and Barbie. So that's saying something, getting outsold, considering how evergreen those two lines are.
I mean, I don't have girls, so, I mean, does Barbie still sell?
It's declining.
Yeah, and I would imagine.
So did you watch The Toys That Made Us?
No.
God, watch it. Even the Barbie episode's great. So it's interesting that up until, basically, Barbie was super dominant until Bratz came out, and they ended up, Mattel ended up winning by basically taking Bratz. It's kind of shady, but
and just as a side note, Brian, I saw that episode at a friend's house. I love the fact that they saw Jim was coming out.
Yes,
and they kind of panicked about Jim coming out, and then they made Barbie and the Rockers to market first.
Yes,
so it looked like Jim.
It was a copy. But,
but that's brilliant. But it's like, I still think Jim Witt was the better dolls.
Have they done the G.I. Joe episode yet?
Yeah. So there's G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Masters of the Universe, and Barbie.
Okay, because I remember reading a long time ago about all the secrecy leading up to the release of the original G.I. Joe in 64, just because they knew if they did not keep it a secret until it was like absolutely ready to go, someone was going to beat them to market with a copy.
Yeah. I don't remember that being in the episode.
Okay.
Yeah, me neither.
It's that G.I. Joe's episode 4. It's a good one.
So going back to the Hasbro story, it's interesting. So Hasbro, the stock started off today. They announced their results. They had a disappointing fourth quarter, but overall the year was really good. And apparently, according to CNBC, Hasbro's share soared because they are confident that they will survive Toys R Us's bankruptcy. So they gave guidance that they will be fine with or without Toys R Us. And again, Stock market is not a predictor of the economy. It's a predictor of the results of a quarter by quarter results of a given company. But investors are confident that Hasbro will survive if Toys R Us fails.
Yeah, so they actually said on the call. Amazon. They actually said on the call that they were actually happy with how the last night product did. So I don't know if that means that they
product,
just really
not the movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, not the movie. They weren't talking about
the product. Franchise. Who even how saw could they, anything how could they after find the first wave? Never in stores.
I have to say, maybe they just had lower expectations for it, and that's why. That's my thought.
I agree. So where before, like with Dark of the Moon, and I guess to a lesser extent, maybe Revenge of the Fallen, there was so much product left on the shelf. Most of the product,
especially Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah. So most of the stuff gone. I mean, there's some stuff left on the shelf, but it's mostly worked its way through. So that's good.
You know, but you know, they say they weren't disappointed with the toy sales, but I'm in all seriousness, how many people actually saw Wave 3 or Wave 4 on shelves? I mean, where was this mythical product showing up?
I don't know which.
It doesn't actually matter as long as, you know, what stores purchased, you know, sold through. I don't know that it matters that what we wanted ever showed up or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. But I thought that was interesting. I knew, of course, that Hasbro had tried to buy Mattel before. Didn't happen. And it's just interesting that, yes, Mattel, for the first time in two decades, Hasbro actually outsold. So I don't know what that means for the future. Maybe nothing, but I doubt it. So let's jump to the news otherwise. So Transformers Authentics 4.5-inch figures sighted in Wichita, Kansas at Dollar General. So if you are in Wichita or in the area, go to your Dollar General if you want to buy some Authentics because you might find them. And if you don't want them, avoid Dollar General.
Yeah, I'd say check Dollar General in general, though, because it's probably going to filter through all of them pretty soon.
Optimus looks the Authentics Optimus looks so much to me like the Legends figure scaled up that it hurts.
Yeah. It's like the Megatron, you tell right away that's something new.
Yeah.
But that Optimus is just so close to what you saw, you know, in the last, you know, secondary market, you know, Dollar General, Family Dollar and all that kind of stuff. I just wonder if we'll see an Ultra Magnus from this like we did the first one.
That'd be nice. Actually, I really love Dollar General stuff in general. God, it's hard not to say. So that Skywarp, the Cliffjumper, and the Ultra Magnus, and what was there a fourth one in that second wave of those figures? Can't remember.
Motor Breath.
Okay, yeah. Oh, right, yeah. So, I really like that, and I wish there were more. It seems like it took them longer to turn those around than it did the G.I. Joe figures that came out a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago at this point, where they pretty quickly turned those around with some repaints, didn't they? Or maybe they didn't. I thought they repainted those.
I remember the second batch of repaints because the Shipwreck was my friend Fred asked me to try to find the Shipwreck because that was the only one that was a significant color change that he wanted, and it took me forever to find that Shipwreck in the second batch.
Oh yeah, and the Snake Eyes, I remember that because they actually did that '90s blue and gray Snake Eyes.
Yeah,
I have that somewhere.
So I love when there's exclusive content at dollar stores because I think it's so cool because they get a chance to, you know, just make something different that you don't see it.
But yeah, I hope the larger Authentics figures start showing up too, because I kind of want that Grimlock if it's only like $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't look bad. I mean, it looks like an upscaled classic Grimlock.
Kinda. I mean, it's again very much along the, you know, G1 pattern of transformation and all, but with ball joints. I almost think that I may end up liking it to go with my Power of the Primes Dinobots more than I like the Voyager, but I'll have to wait and see until I see it in person. I think if I do go that route, it's going to get a little more paint, though.
And, so we also saw from Weibo, God, the guy that...
The jerk with the purple marker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Posted more possible evergreen stuff, and it's...
What do you mean by evergreen?
It's this particular pool of character designs that are shared by the Authentics and probably by Cyberverse from what we've seen.
Okay.
It's like a very specific set of designs that are like considered evergreen by Hasbro. They're just going to be like the default face of Transformers for a while, as best as we can tell.
Yeah, it's like, so it's like the G1 again, like the stuff that Dollar General, basically, yeah. The basic generic looking Optimus Prime that's not part of, that doesn't have a specific play pattern tied to it, where Power of the Primes, Combiner Wars, all of these things have a specific play pattern. These are generic ass Transformers that can sit on the shelves for years, and it's okay because they'll always be Transformers, and you never have to mark them down.
Now, if there's an actual Voyager of that Grimlock design, I will definitely be interested.
So the is this at Walgreens where this was found, or the suggested that it might show up? It's not suggested anywhere. So the what was the line that originally showed up at Universal that is now at Walgreens that I have still
Cyberverse?
Cyber Battalion. I have yet to find those. And those would be considered kind of like evergreen because, again, they're the generic Transformers modes. And
yeah, I would kind of say they're a precursor to the evergreen idea here.
Yeah, so I mean, but they could also like live in with the line. There's no reason that couldn't be blended in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could wind up in this packaging later on. And packaging, yeah, packaging, toys. Hey, Don, you might want to mute. Toys have often in the past in these sort of generic lines have gone between different packaging motifs. So that happens. So there's a Black Convoy exclusive Wonderfest figure. The catch is you can't buy it there. It's based on the evasion mode Optimus Prime. And you have to basically sign up for it there, and they'll ship it to you. It's kind of like the OTFCC 04 special, basically.
I want it.
There's also a suggestion there could be some other exclusives there, too, but we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
You know, it's not quite Allspark blue, but I really don't like that blue on that figure. It's so close to the... Because you remember Power Core Combiners, they had the Allspark blue on the connector points? That is what that blue reminds me of, and it just does not look right on a Nemesis Prime.
Yeah, it's odd. It's much more blue than the Scourge or Black Convoy figure that we got from the G2 mold from, what was it?
Robots in Disguise.
No, not Robots in Disguise. It wasn't Reveal the Shield. It was whatever's after. I guess it was Generations, but that one, then Takara. There's a one from the Collectors Club, did part of the subscription service, and then there was the one that Takara put out. This is a bluer than that, at least from the photos. And again, of course, it's hard to tell based on photos because the lighting.
I think there's 1,000 gallons of that Allspark blue paint sitting in a vat somewhere, and they're just trying to whittle it down as best they can whenever possible to get rid of it.
Yeah. Let's see here what else we have going on. So Takara addresses Legends future. It seems like it's going to Rob live in Takara Tomy Mall.
That seems to be what they're saying, according to Autobase Aichi. They don't give any specifics, but yeah, it's the phrase in the article is centered around Takara Tomy Mall. So yeah, I have a feeling we're going to see a scaled back Legends. I'm thinking this definitely makes me think Buster and Hydra are going to be a thing. Beyond that, I imagine it's going to be based on whatever molds are available that they have something they could do with.
Yeah, so with Takara Tomy Mall potentially being the home for Legends, it's good though that Legends will live on in some capacity, and we're not just getting straight up.
It's not going to be a whole retail line. I mean, the releases will be fewer and far between and expensive, but
yeah,
the hope for Buster and Hydra is still there. So
maybe, yeah, maybe Matt will still get another Unite Warriors set.
I'll buy them all. I will absolutely buy them all.
But yeah, that's something I meant to put in the article, but I was not awake this morning. That, yeah, this probably means it is going to be a little bit harder and a little bit more expensive to get this stuff from now on, with Legends being a Takara Tomy Mall thing exclusively.
Sorry, in the chat, we're talking about Goose Lana.
Okay.
So, tfradio.net/live, we participate in the chat all episode every week. It's fun. Make sure you join us. This actually happens to be a feedback episode, so we're gathering questions from the chat, and one of the questions that Sean had asked is, am I ready for Goose Lana? So he's talking about Botlana, which is taking place, I think, the second weekend in March. But in my alternate persona from my other podcast, I said that I was invited to talk at a Goose Control conference, which I called Goose Lana. Yep. And I honestly kind of wish I was doing that instead.
Is it Botlanta or Toylanta now?
Toylanta. Yeah, not that Toylanta is not going to be fun, but I would kill to have a panel where I'm talking about Goose Control and Goose Control techniques. That would be awesome.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, just remember, Brian, if you're around, you know, like a goose or something, watch out for any canopies. Because that's a goose's number one natural enemy is canopies.
I can see that. That makes sense. That makes sense to me. Let's see here. So Transformers Studio Series Deluxe Wave 1, contents confirmed by a Peruvian shipping list? Okay.
Yeah, Transformers Peru posted the Facebook group posted a list of things that are expected to be distributed in their country soon, and most of it's nothing, you know, we wouldn't expect here, like Power of the Primes, Cyber Battalion assortment with Prowl, Jetfire, Shockwave, and Sideswipe. But yeah, it's also the first official non-leak confirmation of what exactly is in the first deluxe wave of the Studio Series, which it also says is going to be sold as part of the Generations imprint. So we've got Bumblebee, Stinger, Crowbar, and Ratchet.
Yeah, Stinger had come up before, so we'd heard that. I don't know that it had been confirmed that we were going to potentially get a Stinger. So that's awesome. I can't wait for this to happen.
Now, you know, I'll be honest, I'm taking this with a grain of salt, because, you know, this isn't the first time the Decepticons have tried using Peru to take over the world. So, you know, this could be misinformation.
Also, Peruvian shipping list sounds like something you'd hear in an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
All I know, Peru Kill is locked down, so.
That too.
Let's see here, jumping to third-party stuff. DX9, this happened, like, basically right after the show. No. I'm jumping ahead. I want to talk about this first. Ocular Max Hellion, MMC's MP style unofficial cliff jumper. This basically happened right after the show last week, and it looks nice. I like it.
This looks a lot like one that has already been released by somebody.
Does it?
Either that, or we've seen this before.
I think we've seen cliff jumpers before, but I don't know if anything's actually come out.
Yeah.
I want to say there were two different cliff jumpers announced in this past week. That's why Chris titled this one, It's Cliff Jumper Season.
Yeah.
But I don't remember who did the other one or what the deal was.
I'd like to have a Masterpiece style cliff jumper. I mean, I'm not going to buy this, since this is one that Takara will eventually make. But I like Ocular Max's stuff. And, I mean, they have yet to make anything that I haven't liked. So, I mean, that I would consider this if I thought it was, like, jazz and unlikely-ish to come out.
I think that's kind of weird. The bottom windshield almost seems like it ends a little, like, that waist area is a little odd, I think. And that was pointed out on something else I listened to previously, yeah. So that's why I noticed it.
Also in third-party news, we have, from DX9, K3 Lahire. Unofficial third party, The Last Night, Hot Rod. I'm not feeling it. It looks nice. I don't really care about Hot Rod from The Last Night at all.
Oh my god! Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure a lot of people feel your sentiments with that.
Yeah, about the only thing I can say about this that interested me is that I had to look up the Wikipedia article for a French general from the Hundred Years' War just to figure out what this name was about.
Is it DX9 that normally has the names that are multi? MMC is the one that usually has the multi-layered names.
I think a lot of them do nowadays, because it's just there's so many of these things. I mean, it's educational. It's just, yeah. You know, you have to actually look up, find out what the heck it means.
My favorite still is cupola.
Yeah.
So
hey Brian, yeah. Check the Skype chat. That's the Cliff Jumper I was thinking of is from Ace Collectibles. And it looks strikingly similar.
It does look very similar. Ooh. So this popped up in November, late November. It does. It looks very similar. But again,
I have that one.
Again, it's Cliff Jumper. And if they're trying to somewhat emulate how Masterpiece Bumblebee looks, it's not too surprising. But that one doesn't look bad either.
So we're up to three Cliff Jumpers now, because I was wrong. It's Cliff Jumper season. It's the next Cliff Jumper that was announced this week. Another story on the list.
Oh, funny. Real quick, though, just because how things can look the same, like the convergency of it. It's kind of like how when it was leaked that they were making Dinobot Slash, and there was somebody up in arms because they thought Hasbro stole their fanfic character. Well, I mean, it's a dinosaur that hasn't been used, but it's a high on the list, which is a Velociraptor, and it's in Dinobot colors. So of course it's going to look a lot like your fanfic character.
Yes.
So
it just, if you follow Dinobot design conventions and Dinobot naming conventions, yeah, Hasbro kind of wound up in the same place that you did for fairly obvious reasons.
Oh man, I didn't see this one. So yeah, to your point, Cliff Jumper season, Grasshopper is the next unofficial Autobot mini vehicle. This one looks more like, to me, like a Throttlebot.
I was almost going to say it looks like a bot shot.
Looks like a bot shot, yeah. Not feeling this one, but...
No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so here, let me take it back. If this is supposed to be, and I don't guess it is, a Masterpiece alike, that's one thing. But if this is a fun little toy, maybe. Depends on what they actually release. Right now, this is just a CAD model.
Yeah, they're... Even though it's called Mini Master Series, that kind of, yeah, Chris said it kind of looks like it's legend scale, and I think that makes sense.
Yeah. The robot mode, there's something about the legs that look a little off to me. I guess because they can bend both ways, like the reverse knee bend sort of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, of the three that we're looking at, I think the one Matt was the Ace one looks the best. Of the three that we're seeing.
Ace is the place, you're saying?
Mm. Well, for Cliff Jumpers, anyway.
Oh, God, is this another one?
That is another one, Brian.
So, yep, Matt.
Again from November.
Matt, again, another one from November.
Soon they will outnumber the Springers.
So I guess
hold on, I'm not done yet.
I guess all the wastes are like that on these, so maybe that other one wasn't so off.
So what's the next one, Matt? Well,
I'm waiting for it to load.
I really like the X-Transbots one looks really good.
Would Cliff Jumper have the same licensing issues that Jazz would have since they're both Porsches?
It would actually be worse since it's super deformed.
Right.
You would be hard-pressed to get Porsche to agree to that,
yeah.
Okay. I think they'd have to come up with something new, and that doesn't seem like a Masterpiece thing to do.
I won't disload.
So how many Cliff Jumpers will Diecast get?
All of them.
Yeah.
I must have them all. I already have the one that's out. I have the Ace one.
Also, Eric, we need a ruling on that that Hot Rod's forearms. Make sure they're appropriate for the model.
So I'm going to go ahead and jump to the Amazon plug because I want to talk about this. I mentioned it a little while ago. I updated the Massey Attack wish list this weekend. So if you want to help Don out in his journey as a pet owner and a Windows 98 aficionado, go to tfradio.net/MasseyAttack. Let's look and see what's actually on this. So I texted Don, I was like, hey, Don, what kind of coffee do you like? And he was like, anything with peppermint. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah.
So, but there's a Sailor Moon calendar on it.
Yeah. I have to look at this now.
I assumed, Don, that you were 3X, so I put you a 3X, Shaka When the Walls Fell t-shirt. So it's pretty cool. There's a Darmok greeting card. I put some grenadine syrup, which is your favorite. A copy of Windows 98 for Dummies. A copy of Windows 98 Hints and Hacks. I put you a USB 56K modem on it. There's a cat toilet training kit. And if that doesn't work, there's Garfield flushable cat litter. And the thing, I don't know why I put it on here, but it made sense at the time, was a Diamond Select Toys Grandpa Munster action figure. So if you want to help Don out, there's also I added packages of Miracle Whip and Block of Velveeta again. So
the packets are probably a good idea because they'll probably keep basically forever.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. tfradio.net/massyattack. Help Don out.
That list way
yes. And of course it has things on it like Bactine bandages for when Massey attacks Don, alcohol prep pads.
Okay, does it still have the Cadbury Easter eggs?
No. Do you mean Adam?
Yeah, please Adam.
Okay.
Also, Don, if anyone actually sends you a copy of Beast Machines off that list, I will pay postage for you to reship it to me since I know you will not actually want it.
Done. You can have... I will pay postage just to get it away from me even faster.
Deal.
Hey, Don, so do you want me to add the one that's the imported from the UK?
The vanilla? No, what was that one?
That was a Chase egg. That was,
that's right. Yeah. No, the U.S. ones are fine. I'm not going to be greedy. You know, a case of 24 Cadbury eggs will be plenty.
Okay, Don.
Put me in a coma.
Hey, Brian, when I come to Toylana, if I bring Beast Machines, can we watch that at the room?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be...
I'll bring my copy as well.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't they make you watch an episode of Dubbed Headmasters at the last con y'all went to?
Yes, we did.
It's like the torturing of Don a con tradition, and I have missed it every time.
Yes.
Not okay. Just any episode. It was Peace Can Be Sacrificed for Life on Earth.
Yeah. Here's one thing. At some point, I wanted
or life
to try
can be
to
sacrificed
or
for
life can be sacrificed for peace on Earth.
It might as well be that. Hey, Don, real quick. Guess what? Great deal.
What?
I put the Cadbury Halloween Scream Eggs, 48 for $17. It's on the Massey Attack. It's on the Massey Attack wish list. If anybody wants to help Don out, tfradio.net/MasseyAttack.
But are they still good? Of course they're still good.
Yeah, of course they're still good.
Oh, those will last forever. I mean, sugar's a preservative.
Yeah, tfradio.net/MasseyAttack.
But here's something I would like for us to watch at some point. Okay. If someone can bring a VCR, I've got one. If we can find one of those, the old books on tape, Transformer Adventures with the Megatron and the Soundwave, the Soundwave, he's under the water, where you've got Starscream hiding behind a tree and nobody sees him. You know, it's the reader books that came with the cassette tape.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah. They did VHSs of them too. That would be because I remember.
I'm sure somebody has ripped that. They almost have to have.
Yeah. Because I remember back in BotCon 95, myself, Fred, Raksha, and a bunch of her friends were all watching one of those on a VCR cart. And we were just laughing our butts off as, you know, Starscream is literally hiding behind a tree, his wings sticking out among the tree, and he's completely hidden from everybody. Nobody can see him.
So I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I think I'm only told it once. When I went to BotCon 01, my buddy Bob went, and Bob had just got a Decepticon tattoo, and he wanted to show it off. So he saw Raksha, and Raksha had on something that had a Decepticon, and he wanted to go, like, hit Hunter and show her the tattoo. And I guess Don's the only person here who knows who Raksha is, and John besides me. And I'm like, dude, don't do that. I don't think Raksha is going to be impressed with your tattoo because she is actually literally a Decepticon.
Yeah. I mean, I think back then Avatar would have still been living. So she probably would have had Avatar with her, which was a Python.
Yes.
That she brought to the show.
Yes. She brought them to all of them, right? Brought Avatar to all of them.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Most of them. Yeah. Avatar was a 15 foot Python.
It just goes to show how much the fandom has changed, because there are no people running around today who literally identify as a Decepticon or an Autobot. Maybe they're on Tumblr and I just don't see it. But
I mean, if I had to pick a faction, I'd be an Autobot. But
no, they felt like they lived the Decepticon code. It was an interesting time to be in the Transformers fandom. Yeah.
And Raksha actually with her perseverance got the first female Decepticon officially made by Hasbro as her Night Racer toy. It was the exclusive for that year.
Yeah.
So they're tenacious. Does not Raksha is one of the most, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
She's a fan to the core, and she just loves the brand. So, I, you know, and
I don't know Raksha personally, awesome. But she is one of the people that helped define what the Transformers fandom was for a period. And then, of course, during also the period after is when the sort of the fandom, there was a schism between people who liked Beast Wars and people who didn't.
But, you know, but the energy that she put into 95 helped the early BotCons keep on going. It was, yeah. So that way it wasn't just her doing, you know, them doing 94 and that was it.
There's a
lot of people don't.
Yeah, there's an article on the TF Wiki about the history of the Transformers fandom. It's not complete by any stretch, but I would recommend people go and read it because the world that when I first came into the Transformers fandom online in the 90s is much different than it is now.
Yeah, and for those of you younger fans like Eric who look at the fandom now, you can better understand how we're at this point in time by seeing where we came from those early years. It's really fast.
What, Diecast?
I said not really.
You know, I
wasn't around in that time, and I understand.
And it was a better time, but that's
the evolution of Transformers.
There are things that are still around from that time, like AllSpark and T-Formers started around the same time. At toward the later part of what I want to call that period, TFW, I would say Cybertron actually came after. But to Diecast's point, you really don't have to know it because it really doesn't it doesn't impact so much things anymore because there are so many more people who joined the fandom after all that stuff those of us who were around at that point, minuscule compared to the number of people who were brought in by like Animated or the Unicron trilogy or by the movies.
The fandom honestly influenced the brand at the time, but if you're looking back from a history perspective, you don't really need to know the fandom at that time to understand the brand.
I would agree with that.
I'd have to agree.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah,
but I'm still fascinated by that time period, and honestly, because as you get older, time compresses. In my mind, it's still like somewhere around 1997 or 1998. So I should be logging in to Alt Toys Transformers about every 3 hours on my Windows 98 PC. So that's the way things should be going.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just say this in closing. I don't think we would be where we're at now if not for then. There's definitely a cause and effect that I think is understated. And there's a lot more weight of what we are now based on them. But that's my opinion.
So let's go ahead and jump to some feedback. We'll start off with some emails and texts, and then we'll go to things that have been brought up in the chat. So let's see here. I'll try to read through these as quickly as possible. From James. Hey, he said, what's up? Once again, thank you for the entertainment and info on Taobao. So that's good. Love the show. I do have an issue, though. I've tried to sign up my email address to become an RFC insider more than once, but have yet to get anything in my inbox. It's been a few months since I sent out a newsletter, mostly because my schedule has been terrible, and I am working on getting that back up and running here in the next couple weeks. So definitely going to have something out before Toy Fair just to promote that. But James, don't worry. It's not you. It's us. We'll get you something in your mailbox soon.
We're the bad part of the relationship.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's us.
It's us. it's really been my schedule for the last 6 months or so. It's been terrible. So
it's been rough, folks.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad. So Kent said, I binge watched Go 90 Titans Return this week and realized that it has two key qualities of classic Nick Cage action film. Number one, all the dialogue is either whispered or screamed. And of course, number two, everything in the movie is on fire. I love that. Well said. So that was the best quote.
You have to read the rest. There's important stuff in there.
Okay, I am doing the highlights. He said, I agree with Diecast that a Titans Clash Unicron is coming in 2018 or 2019. I'm also hoping that a retool will be done to have an updated Cybertron / Primus figure. So there you go.
I also agree with that.
Well, hey, Brian, did you pull some fan fiction that I agree with Diecast? That's got to be fan fiction or something.
There are people.
There are people like me, Don.
There are more people like Diecast than like you, Don. You're one of a kind. Mark said, hello from England. Just listened to 552. Some of these are old because I am terrible about reading and commenting on emails that we get. And really enjoyed the discussion on the Machinima Titans Return series. On this topic, I fully agree with Don. To showcase your current most recent product line for Transformers in such a bad way, I think, is damaging to the franchise. So, Don, you got an agreement, too. Made a point to have that in there.
Cool. Thank you.
So, via text, don't know who this is. I'm not going to read their number. It's last
wait,
one.
Wait.
I will address that. So, hey guys, just recently got back into Transformers for the first time, seriously, since I was a kid. You had mentioned that the site would carry updates on where to find what wave in terms of official release timeline. Where could I find that? So if you go to tformers.com, Rob, it's the wave trackers on the right side of the page, right?
Yes, and there's a tab at the top to take you directly to it. And we have just updated that recently with the Power of the Primes Wave 2 pre-orders and also the first wave of the Generation Studio Series Deluxes.
Cool. So, also, I love the podcast. I won't lie, it was a bit of an acquired taste at first, and sometimes might still be because, as somewhat of a new collector, I find that you guys may often be talking about stuff that I have no reference for, like the schism in the Transformers Online fandom and Altoys Transformers in 1997. I hear you. I am right there. I understand. I totally get you. He said, do you have a QA submission area for people to throw out questions that could be discussed weekly for you guys because you are experts and have decades of collecting knowledge? Well, you reached us at the text line at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. You can text us there, leave us a voicemail or email contact at tfradio.net, just like you did. And eventually we do get to some of the questions, the ones that, you know, a lot of things I respond directly. A lot of things may not necessarily need to make air, but I try to occasionally get to stuff. Okay, this is what Matt was talking about. Keep up the good work. Because I'm back tracking on episodes, I just went to all the last night, but couldn't find Ramhorn. Needless to say, I'm now a dedicated listener in hopes that it may. Wait, where's the comment about Matt?
That was the last one.
Mark from England.
I'm sorry. I thought it was part of this one. Okay, I'll pretend it's part of this one. I struggle to see how Diecast and Matt can defend Titans Return.
I struggle to see how I can defend it too, since I never have.
Yeah. Well, Diecast is defending it, Matt isn't. So.
Matt refuses to even watch it. So
I've yet to
well,
watch
it. It's the beard.
Explain why you're more positive on it than the rest of us.
Yeah, I've yet to watch it.
Oh, okay, I guess.
So
yeah, see, actually, Matt not watching it makes him the winner.
Yeah,
basically, if you think about it,
this is really true. This is true. Matt's not watching it. I haven't watched it either. I planned on doing it, but I've yet to get around to it. So, Jason, what are some of the questions from the chat? Give us, like, how many you have?
I've got a good six, I think.
Or
five or six, yeah.
Yeah, go for five. Give us the top five.
Okay. First one's real quick. And because one person asked, someone else is probably wondering. They're asking if there will be a podcast next Wednesday. Rodimus Supreme asked that. And yes, of course, there will be,
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, the podcast still happens even though Toys Fair is coming, so definitely be here next Wednesday.
Toy Fair is a bonus.
Yeah. Yes. We'll just get like a third of the downloads for that one because the new episode will pop like a few days later. That's a sacrificial episode.
Right. Sean Hamilton asked, what are the chances of G2 Dinobots? And I'm going to say 100%.
I'm saying good 75%.
I'm not liking the chances. I mean, we've seen the G2 sets before. They did not sell well. I mean, these things ended up at Ross and
you think it'd really be a set, though?
I don't think a set. I think the G2 Dinobots will happen because there are a few retool opportunities for the Dinobots.
I still don't see it.
Well, I think we're going to see them.
Would love to see it. Don't get me wrong. I would buy the crap out of those. I just don't think they're going to take the risk on any more G2 stuff anytime soon.
I think we're going to see the toy colors of Dinobots possibly because we did see a red-chested version.
That's true.
Of
That's true. Swoop. But I got to think we'll get G2 in some form.
You know, go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was going to say it's possible. I mean, there even is a possibility we could end up with new box sets, considering that Velocitron and Cybertron both did better, I think, than they anticipated. But
that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think there's a 50-50 shot of it, but I don't know. I don't feel confident about it. In terms of reusing the molds, I keep expecting that structurally the Terracons are going to end up using some of these pieces.
Yeah, I think the Chaos and Velocitron and Siege on Cybertron did so much better because they had remolding and entirely new molds.
Yeah, that's true.
They weren't just different colored combiner sets that you already had.
And new characters. I think that's a major factor, too.
Yeah.
Well, now, one thing to consider is we mentioned this in a couple of shows ago, and also in this show with the Hasbro earnings, with there being a loss of a lot of Toys R Us's, Hasbro may be reaching out to online retailers to try to take up some of that slack, like BBTS or Captured Prey or Chosen Prime or whatever the case may be. And this could be an online retailer exclusive. It's a chance to reuse the molds and characters they would not have a chance to get out to regular retail. And without Toys R Us without as many Toys R Us's out there to support a exclusive set, they may look at the online retailers to try to pick up that slack. So I can easily see there being a BBTS, like, you know, another Battle Unicorn, you know, you can buy a set of 5 G2 Dinobots, and they'll come individually carded. I doubt they would do an actual single box. It'd be nice. You know, the box set could look like maybe like Dinobot Island.
But again, how much of a risker would Big Bad Toy Store take on this when they couldn't get rid of the Superions and the Menosaurus they had?
Yeah. Although they did take the risk on Siege on Cybertron, and that seems to have done all right for them.
Yeah.
So Dinobots at least are noteworthy enough that a set of G2 Dinobots is also, I would think, an SDCC possibility.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And also the fact is, if we ever hear from Hasbro about the Collectors Club, quote unquote, that could be an option as well. But we still have not heard anything other than random toys at random shows announced sporadically. Oh, it's here. Go buy it. By the way, we're sold out.
Mm-hmm. And Toys R Us is not dead. Toys R Us still has store presence. They still have an online presence. We can still get exclusives, masterpieces, all that stuff at Toys R Us now.
Well, Doc Ash, you're right. You can. But there's still going to be some aversion from Toys R Us's without as many stores to pick up this stuff. So there's still going to be a slack.
180 stores, though.
That's like 10%. More than 10% of
20%.
And they Don's point, what Don's trying to say, and that I'm interrupting him to say, is they have to have the locations to carry the inventory. And they're not going to carry that inventory on ToysRUs.com. They need physical space, physical retail space to do it. And that compromises their ability to carry it. Go ahead, Don. Sorry.
So that's fine. So even if there's not that much slack from the Toys R Us closings creating gaps in exclusivity, that may be a push for them to say, okay, we need to get more of this stuff out. We need to get more repaints. We can't really count on Takara to reuse a lot of these molds because, as we talked about earlier, the Legends characters or repaints are not going to be near as common, apparently, as they were. So they're going to have to find other ways to get these molds used, to get some costs back, and make something for the collectors to satisfy demand.
Well, Don, so you realize with Takara and Hasbro using the same paint decos, everything, it's at a cheaper cost for them to manufacture those.
Yeah,
now.
they can do larger runs to help get their cost, their mold cost.
So back. you know the Legend that not doing the Legends aren't costing them money; it's actually making them money.
Right, I understand. However, there is still a fan base out there that wants these other colored figures, and Hasbro. And I'm saying they are saving money by not having as many different decos, but they want all the money, not some of the money. So the more uses they get out of these molds, the more money they're going to make.
And not doing the Legends may actually drop their sales because, in Japan, they have higher expectations for things like that. So
which is probably why they're keeping the Legends line going through Takatomi Mall to keep that section of the fandom happy.
Yeah, to keep them happy. But again, I, it's not like with the weakness of the yen compared to the dollar, people are not going to be importing stuff from the U.S., so it would be cheaper to buy it domestically in Japan. But I think the demand will drop because of the lack of decos.
Well, I think we covered this, as they're trying to drop the price to appeal more to children, because Takara's had a tougher time selling stuff to kids as opposed to older collectors.
They're giving up one market for another, potentially.
Thanks, Takara. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Jason, what other questions we have?
I like that was technically a yes or no answer. Eric did confirm that the arms on the hot rod are okay, so we have that confirmation. Two, I'm combining here for Ultra Jazz. Do you have your collection in a certain order? And he also asked what type of shelves you have your display on. I know Matt got into this a little bit last week. I think both those can go pretty quickly. I do. I got to think about how mine are, but how about you guys? How do you have your collection? What order do you put them in?
Order.
Whatever cardboard boxes they fit in, because I do not have a lot of display space.
I will change stuff up every now and then. I mean, you can see behind me, I've got an entire shelf of combiners.
It's amazing how much of my Unicron Trilogy collection that I've sort of gotten rid of over the years, because I guess there's more. I have a whole shelf dedicated to Generations, and I have a shelf that's the same size that's dedicated to the Unicron Trilogy and actually has a couple more things in it. I have a 4x4 cube storage unit from two of them from IKEA. They're different cubbies, I'll call them. I have four cubbies dedicated to Masterpiece. I don't actually have a big G1 collection. So I only have like three cubbies dedicated to G1 stuff. And
I don't have any G1 stuff out right now at all.
I have two cubbies dedicated to BotCon stuff, and then the rest of it's haphazard. Like, it's just whatever looks nice together.
Yeah. I've got a Decepticon shelf with Masterpieces on one side, Generations on the other. Below that is the Autobot shelf with the Masterpieces and the Generations, except for the Season 3 cast, which get their own special shelf over here because they're awesome.
I have my stuff everywhere, in every room,
on
every shelf, on the sofa, you know, and the white ones, the white Takara plastic ones are in a dark closet.
You just have,
for safety reasons.
And you have sheets over stuff.
Yeah, I've got King Jader and under a sheet, because that is 90s Takara
and
white
Fortress
plastic.
Fortress Maximus and Grand Maximus and Brave Maximus.
No, Brave Maximus doesn't have the white plastic, it's not as much danger. But yeah,
so
I have it everywhere.
I love Don's collection, because Don has a lot of stuff that I would consider holy grails for my collection. Then Don just has them just like laying like on a plastic shelf, like tipped over and stuff. And I'm like, oh my god, I want that.
No, it's just
he's got G1 Artfire just shoved in a closet somewhere.
Basically,
he is. G1 Artfire is literally in a closet, because again, the white plastic. It's just, I want to get this thing organized. I've talked about this on TFYLP, because we had an episode a couple months ago about this. I want to get this thing organized and get it looking like Matt's, and get it looking like y'all's collection. I just don't care sometimes, because I'm always so tired. It's just, where do you start?
I'm right there with you, Don. That's why my actual collection room is not being done right now, because this is sufficing for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you've gotten further than I have in, you know, I've still got stuff to open dating back 5 years.
Yeah.
That I haven't opened.
The box. The room that I'm in right now, my office, is literally full of crap. And there is so much more in tubs and totes and stuff that I don't have any room for. I kind of hate it. I need a bigger house.
I have a storage building outside with stuff. I have stuff in my basement. I have stuff in this room. Like, Brian, if you lived closer, we could share a house. It could be podcasting, recording, collection. No wives allowed. That would be awesome.
I would do that. You should move down.
No, just... but no, just on that account, Matt, I did have to clean up my desk a couple of weeks ago because it fell on me. And I had an awful lot of boxes and junk and just random things I had picked up wherever over the years that had to go out. It had to be recycled. So, yeah, I mean, the accumulation of junk kind of comes along with this, and every once in a while you have to deal with that, I think.
So I've got a shot over here. Ignore all the tape and podcasting equipment, but it's like all my big Transformers that are standing on a desk because I had to move everything this past weekend because they came and installed gigabit internet, and I had to basically free up space so that the cable guy can come in and actually reach the receptacle and everything.
Was his name Larry?
No, it wasn't. But it's kind of funny. The guy was totally a pro. He didn't once mention all the toys and all the recording equipment. But to Rob's point, or Rob's brother's point, he was probably just happy that it wasn't full like of sex toys and stuff and meth. So
my collection is pretty easy. Since I haven't been collecting super long, I can do a lot of my stuff by size, so I can do like the Luxes and Voyagers together. I have a couple shelves that are just mostly third-party stuff, since I'm getting into that more. I have my Optimus Prime shelf. I have down here is where I have like leaders, and then like I have a combiner shelf just like Matt does. And I mean, other than that, it's pretty simple. I don't have a Lost Light shelf or anything like that. I just kind of group it together by either third-party, what size they are, or if it's a certain, like I have so many Optimus Primes, they definitely deserve their own little shelf.
Yeah,
so.
Cool. Oh, John's gone. I didn't realize that he dropped off.
Yeah, he said he'd be back on in a bit.
So I haven't been to John's house. I knew how he had his apartment laid out. He had actually just really simple shelving in his office, and he had way fewer Transformers that displayed than I would have thought, because I know that John used to have a pretty epic collection. That was before he had a kid, so I'm not exactly certain why he didn't have anything displayed. Kind of makes me sad. Anybody else? Nope. Okay. So what other questions do we have?
Well, we got one from Jared Hebert, which is, are there any G1 characters prior to 89 that we still think need to get a better toy?
Scorponok.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that last week, sort of. Not exactly that, but we talked about toys that we thought deserved attention in Power of the Primes. But yes, Scorponok would be up there. Double Dealer would be up there.
Oh, yeah. Downshift, Camshaft, and Override.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Autobot X.
Reflector, yeah.
Reflector's up there. Even though I want a Reflector that actually looks like the toy and not like the cartoon. I know what the visualizers looks like. I guess all the third-party reflectors look like the cartoon and not the original toys.
And when somebody brought up Autobot X last week, I didn't get a chance to say that if we did not get that as a Build-A-Figure in Hero Mashers, I'm sorry to say I don't think we're ever going to get it.
I agree with that.
And they could have done a bot, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want a bot.
Well, they wanted the line to sell.
Yeah.
Well, they should have tried it because it didn't last too long, sadly.
So a toy that I would really like to see a masterpiece of, it's kind of in the vein of Reflector. It's Perceptor. I mean, obviously we've had other Perceptors come out, but I still think the best is just because of the size and everything is the G1 figure.
I really like the Titans Return one. I mean,
it's nice.
I'm not big on the characters that should not be headmasters being headmasters. Yeah. That's like my biggest problem with the line. But that's a pretty nice Perceptor.
Yeah, it is. I would just want it to be, you know, like a robot in disguise. I would like to actually have that sitting on my desk and
something that turns into a legitimately sized microscope.
Yeah, it might look like an 80s reject microscope, but something like that.
And you know, just in terms of, you know, non-headmasters as headmasters, I did like that gave Perceptor an excuse to have his Microman functionality back.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I think Double Dealer is the big one for me. Even though we got that one, it's not the same thing.
I would take it from the perspective of, even though we have a really nice masterpiece Wheeljack, considering what they did with him with the Combiner Wars mold, I'd like just a regular mainline Wheeljack. That'd probably be a deluxe size, but I like see him redone as a better figure.
Along those lines, Ironhide and Ratchet.
Yeah, oh, yes. There you go. Yep.
Yes. Those Combiner Wars toys just did not suit them. And before that, we had the classics versions, which just left a lot of people unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been fine with the Combiner Wars Ratchet if it had been a mass market thing I could get a hold of easily. I liked that first aid mold, but yeah, I wouldn't have minded an Ironhide from that too, just so they'd both match, but that's me.
Anything else, Jason?
Yep, one more here from Rodimus Supreme. After the initial things we've seen leaked for the studio series line, what you guys think will be, or I guess more, what would you want to see next in like a studio series line? Now, we haven't gotten in hand of them yet. So as far as what articulation stuff we're looking at with these, yeah.
Are we thinking studio series based on just what the information that's leaked has been leaked with? Are we thinking it really is more part of like the authentic sort of style, or?
Oh no, it's going to be generation style figures. We've got deluxes and Voyagers and all that planned. So basically, is there anything you think could use a new movie toy in deluxe, Voyager, Leader? Those listings we were looking at earlier list them as generations figures. So plan accordingly.
We needed a new Leader Grimlock, because that Leader Grimlock from Age of Extinction was terrible.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a... Yeah, I don't know.
There aren't too many things I can think of that I would really like to see in it as a new mold of a movie character. I think generally this would be a great opportunity to get more Cogmans out there somehow. Slip that in the line somewhere so people can get that for less than 30, 40 bucks. Yeah. But in term, and that's basically the only movie product I'm looking to purchase at any time soon. So yeah, that's my wish. I'd like to see a re-release of Cogman in this line.
I kind of read the question wrong. Like he doesn't want us to think of like a new line of studio series. It's more just what movie toys we want to see better molds of in the studio series.
None. I don't care.
Yeah, we're not maybe the best people to ask that question, I'm afraid. I wish Eric was on for that one.
Yeah, I would much more be interested in getting like Rescue Bots.
Eric just wants
characters.
Yes.
Eric just wants an Optimus Prime with the correct forearms.
I mean, you know, but I would love to see what you said, Jason. The Rescue Bots with actual, maybe not movie. I would prefer it in like a Generations look versus a movie look, but unless they go all, you know, bag of knives or something and make weird proportions on them, the Rescue Bots could look really good.
Oh, yeah.
So just with that being said, the figures that we got that are good are fine. The figures that we got that sucked, I don't care about to begin with. I know that's a terrible way of putting it, but like I'm thinking back to Revenge of the Fallen Sideswipe. Was it Revenge of the Fallen? Mm-hmm. I like that toy.
Yeah.
There are not that many.
That's kind of the sad thing about the movie line to me. There's not a lot of things. There aren't enough characters in that I care about that if the toy was bad, I care enough for them to do it again.
That's a great way of putting it. That's a much better way of putting it than what I was trying to articulate. I mean, there's a couple Barricades that I like. That's good enough for me. Yeah.
No, I guess maybe I liked the Dark of the Moon truck Megatron. I guess I would like to see them take another pass at that.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with that toy.
Yeah, that never got a leader, did it?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Mm. There's a pretty solid upscale
in a leader. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it did get the foot and a half tall upscale though.
Yeah. Okay, Jason, that it?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, everyone. Fantastic questions this week. Every time we do this, it's always a lot of fun. So thanks, everyone.
So
thanks, guys.
I'm more fascinated in the idea of a universe style deluxe line that's not part of any specific play pattern, like going back to what we had before we had Combiner Wars. That interests me more than anything else.
I agree. Like I said, you know, I really like the Titans Return stuff, but I wish most of them had not been Headmasters. Like that's the Blur and the Cup that I've been waiting for years, and they're Headmasters.
Like, yeah.
I mean, so close.
The Headmaster part doesn't, for the most part, bother me, but you're right. It is so close.
It bothers me because there is no reason with their current engineering that they have to be headmasters.
Yeah.
There is plenty of room to hide heads in those modes.
Yeah, and if you lose one of those heads, it's going to suck.
You can always buy another head at Aldi for $4, and it's just as good.
Not the Japanese ones.
Yeah.
Blur's not going to look good with ram horn on his head. That's all I'm going to say.
No.
Okay, so, Rob, what's in the network this week?
Okay, on T-Formers this week, we've got... I've written a couple of things. Got a thing. I decided to start doing a series on the various brands that Hasbro has used for Transformers over the years. I'm starting out with Play School, so we've got a little bit of a history of, you know, where they came from, what they did before Hasbro bought them, and what they've done for Transformers. So that's up now. Also, last Friday, I did the first of the three Countdown to Toy Fair articles, the things we expect to see at the show. The follow-up to that will be this Friday. And lastly, we've got some photos of the Fans Toys FT-39 Jabber, who is a unofficial third-party Masterpiece-style blur.
Diecast, what do you think?
That is the one that I said. Unique Toys announced their re-release of Buzzing, so Fans Toys quickly put this out, and we'll see this in about 3 years from Fans Toys.
I've got Buzzing, and I think he's pretty good. The Target Master's not any good, I'm sorry to say. It's, you know, up until Contact Shot, no third party that I've seen did a good Target Master, but the blur itself is a pretty solid figure.
So I'm not feeling this at all. But I'm certain.
Nor am I.
I'm certain because they rush this out, they'll have something else entirely when it actually comes out.
Mm.
Hey, so Don, what's on T-Formers this week?
What's on the network this week? Get this.
I'm glad you went with that. I'm so glad you went with that. That's so great.
Get the Skinny episode 64. Want some fries and that ice cream? John and Brian talk about Brian's Nutrisystem results, alternative foods, and a really sad life hack Brian came up with years ago, and John's return to Pokemon Go. How was your weekend, episode 29? Crazy relatives. This week, Wendy and Brian talk about crazy family members. The old adage is true. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 40, brainstorming on the goal, theory of constraints. In this episode, Dusty, Brian, and Mike change gears and discuss the goal, a process of ongoing improvement by L. Goldratt. The goal is a business novel about solving problems by understanding your goal and how to mitigate the effects of constraints which get in the way. On this episode, we look at RPGs and apply the theory of constraints to understand why we play and what constraints keep us from it.
Any reviews this week, Diecast? I don't think you had any.
No.
Okay, cool. Of course, you can find this episode at tfradio.net/557 for show notes, tfradio.net/557. And of course, our voicemail line, you can reach us at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. I am on Twitter at bkilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. You can find RFC on Twitter at tfradio and on Facebook at facebook.com/tfradio. Rob Springer is at zonebase.org. And it, Rob Springer. And Chris, who isn't here, he is on Twitter at ChrisRTXV and on Flickr to see his galleries at flickr.com/ChrisRTXV. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
At ChrisRTXV on Twitter. No, I mean at Diecast2 on Twitter and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast and on YouTube at RFC Reviews.
Sweet. Matt is on Twitter at Melvar, 3 L's, 2 R's, MELLLVARR. Don?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EBR.
John?
That John D everywhere.
Everywhere. Rob?
I'm on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flailthroughs, also on YouTube at Flailthroughs.
And Jason?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, both at Jason S. Kirk. That's where I am.
Sweet. Okay, we'll be back next week with RFC 558. Make sure you join us live at tfradio.net/live. And, of course, we will have our Toy Fair live stream on Saturday, February 17th, around 12 Eastern time. tfradio.net/live. Please join
us. Wait. Very important. I forgot something else that I got. I got Dino, which is the Faraj from Alien Attack. This is their first toy. So, see, I get so many, I forget. Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
It was important.
Bye, y'all.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
We can do an audio podcast without audio. It'll be like a new kind of thing.
Diecast, that's a Viewmaster! Jesus H. Christ on a bicycle!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.